The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Monday. Welcome to the broadcast. I pray you and yours, your weekend was blessed. And thank you for supporting us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Our impact segment always begins each hour with 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. We're going to highlight, of all people, a rock singer in this first segment who has a brand new book out called Awaken Alive to Truth. His name is John Cooper. I've got the book in front of me. I'm going to read a little bit from it under the category, The Foolishness of God's Word. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. Before we do, recently John took to social media to share a video about, well, the developments recently, censorship, what is to come. And John shared this important part of what may be to come and the Bible.
Which leads me just to a little bit of advice, which is this. It's going to sound alarmist. A lot of other people have been saying this for months. You need to get a physical Bible. If there are books that you want to get, you should get them physically. Already, you can go in and change things on Kindle. Things are now going to be deemed hate speech. We all know that. Well, there are some Christian authors that have done that. Beth Moore, everybody knows that. Beth Moore went back and changed certain things. So now you can't call it violence. Now it can't be hate speech. There are going to be other people that do that sort of thing. I would suggest getting the books that you want to get. I would say go and buy them now. I'll put a book list together for you guys for things that I could see. I hate to say it because it makes me sound like I'm a nut being banned. I don't really know where we're going, but I will put that together for you guys. Christians, just open your eyes to see what's happening. There are a lot of woke Christians online. The thing they're most upset about is that more people weren't shot at the Capitol. I guess that's the thing, is that if these would have been BLM rioters, everybody would have been killed. Why didn't they kill more people? So I guess that some of the woke pastors are upset about that. I just saw an article come out in CNN basically saying, yeah, I know that we elected Warnock in Georgia. Georgia is a Republican state. And we did elect a radical leftist, Democrat who's black. But this doesn't mean the systemic racism is done in Georgia. We just need to make sure you know. You're still racist down there. It doesn't mean anything. It's going to be a little bit of a scary time. Things are changing, guys. I hope that it makes Christians more passionate about the Word of God. I'm not talking about us taking up arms and becoming revolutionaries. I'm talking about being more passionate about the gospel, that the things that we live for are actually not of this world. We care about the world, and we care about our country, and we care about civil liberties and things like that. But the things that we care about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Our hope is not in America. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is definitely not in Donald Trump. Our hope is definitely not in the Republican Party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this is a great time to get to know him. Be safe, and remember, God's in control of all this. Be aware of what's happening, but know that our God is always in control. Later.
John Cooper. Let's read a little of his book on the Bible. Phone lines are open, 888-528-2557. If you've tuned in recently, you may be, well, interpreting a little bit of a theme on the program, and you would be correct in your assessment that we're talking about the Bible more and the importance of knowing what the Word of God says. There's a phenomenal book out by Alyssa Childers called Another Gospel. We're going to have her on the program in the next week or two, talking about all the different attacks from the very beginning, 2,000 years ago, on the Word of God. So what does John Cooper in his new book, Awaken Alive to Truth, say about the foolishness of God's word? The Bible says a lot about God's word, but first, we must confront a simple fact. The Bible will always be foolishness to those who do not come to the Scriptures with a changed heart and mind. Throughout the Bible, they see contradiction. They read about miracles and impossible acts and consider them as fables or fairy tales. The one who hears God's words with faith is like a blind man who has just been healed and opened his eyes for the very first time. God's words are illuminating, and through it, you can see the true shape, color, and context of the world. And once you see the truth of God's word, you cannot help but to see God's truth everywhere and in everything. To make the point, let's start with a more foundational principle. If God exists, then he certainly must be infinite. Not only does this make sense, but it is agreeable to philosophers and theologians from all sorts of vantage points, those from Christian and Jewish heritages, as well as those in the Platonic and Socratic traditions. If this is true, how can we expect to fully understand an infinite mind when we are so very limited ourselves? Should we read the Bible and think it absurd because we can't fully understand it? Not many, if any, humans alive today have the natural wisdom and logic of Plato. Yet we watched a handful of TED Talks about Christianity and then chastise God's word because they are a mystery to finite minds. Are there complexities, mysteries, unexplainable supernatural events in the Bible? Well, I hope that would be true. Yes, I would hope so. Or else this infinite God doesn't seem all that different to me than finite humans. And if the Bible was full of only explainable events, do you think people would say, well, because the Bible is full of explainable events, I absolutely believe it? John Cooper writes, somehow I doubt it. There are those who claim the Bible is foolishness because the eyewitness accounts of Jesus differ. But this argument does not hold up even in our own real-world contexts. What do I mean? Imagine you went to a concert with a group of your friends. Afterwards, you asked each of them to tell you about the show. One indicates the singer opened the concert wearing a leather jacket with pyrotechnics going off in the background. Another says that the singer wore a sleeveless shirt and body surfed through the crowd. Would these things necessarily be contradictions? Which friend is lying? Who do you trust? But isn't the answer obvious? At one point, the singer wore a leather jacket. There were pyrotechnics. At another point, he took off his jacket and crowd surfed. Your two friends aren't lying to you. They each focused on different events and were impacted by the same events and words in different ways. Stay with me, please. To the heart that approaches the Gospels of Jesus with faith, this is extremely obvious. But to those without faith, these represent foolish contradictions. Another objection often voiced is that even if God's original words were true, they were recorded by human hands and therefore were prone to human error. Sadly, this theory is gaining ground even within the church today. Cooper writes, I hear congregants asking, can a sovereign God really trust the humans won't mess up his words? Again, if we start from the premise that there is an infinite God, then we must conclude that God understood this possibility. Still, he trusted the power and sovereignty of his words to people. Even those who turn to the scriptures with a certain amount of faith still wrestle with the authority of scripture. Some Christians put their trust in Christ, yet they believe that the Bible is nothing more than a guide. Is that you? There is error of the gravest kind. To them, the Bible is not absolute authority, nor is it meant to be taken literally. Is that you? There are other Christians who take a higher view, who describe it as God's advice to us. Sort of like if God had a diary and he wrote down thoughts and axioms. Something like love your neighbor, help the poor, be a good person, never wear white after Labor Day. These Christians weigh God's word as principles that are more true than any other principles. This approach still falls short of the power of God's word. Please stay with me. We're almost done. Moving even higher on the ladder of the importance of Scripture would be the Christian who believes that the Bible is the literal and actual word of God. It is personal. It is as if God was talking to you face to face. It is unchanging, perfect in holiness, unerring for all eternity. This highest level of belief in God's word is the only belief that the Bible itself endorses. Now, lastly, this may seem harsh to some of you, or even close-minded. Still, does it make any sense at all to believe in a God who speaks truth only some of the time? To those of us who approach the Bible with faith, we must believe that what God says is true, or else none of it can be true. To us, the foolishness of God's word is the only trust we trust, and the only truth we trust. And then he writes, as we will see, the Bible commands us to have the utmost assurance that the word of God is true, absolute, authoritative, and contains the actual presence of God himself. John Cooper, Awake and Alive to Truth, his latest book. Now, let me share a few of my thoughts. We have open phone lines. For whatever reason in this season of my life, I think externally with everything going on, you know, we have an inauguration Wednesday where the Capitol is going to be on lockdown like a third world country dictatorship. Yeah, I said that. Half the country is elated about the new change, some being people that say they're Christians, supporting this new administration, who now is on record as being adamant about saying the first thing they're going to do is overturn all of the pro-life legislation that the previous administration endorsed over 4 years. And we say we're Christian. The other half of the country is upset, maybe even feeling ripped off. What is to be made of all of this? Well, it depends on what perspective we use, what lens we look through. From the human lens, we're big on playing victims and scapegoat. We love blaming others. And then this man, this God incarnate Jesus said, be worried about the plank in your own eye before you look at the speck in someone else's eye. Oh boy, not what we want to hear. Theological liberals love to make Jesus out as this Lord of love, and he was here just to teach us, teach humanity to love each other and move forward and evolve. You talk about misrepresenting who this Jesus is, not was and will be, but is right now. It's reprehensible, but it's what we do as humans. This is what we do. We make God into our own image. We have no reverence for him. We have no fear of him. This is a time to really get honest with yourself about your walk with God, especially your relationship with him and his word, the Holy Bible. John Cooper, in that audio we heard, talked about if you don't have a hardbound Bible, you may want to get one more sooner than later. And you can read between the lines on what he's inferring there. But this is exposing. All of this is exposing. It's like God shaking everything out. And everything is being exposed for what it is. And if you take enough pause and embrace the truth of the Bible, deny yourself, your identity is in Christ, pick up your cross and follow him, if you will, He will make all things new. You'll be able to see what's going on here. This is not about division in the country. This is not about political parties. This is about good versus evil. And don't be caught up in the diversion. Satan would have nothing more than to wish we look to each other as the problem. Today's a day we honor the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Good intention though we may be, we fall all over ourselves in social media and post all of these nice things about MLK Jr. It's a nice, sweet sentiment. But what about yesterday? What about tomorrow? Have we even bothered to read any of his sermons or listen to some of his preaching or know what the dream is or live our lives to enhance and make that dream a reality? God's shaking everything up. Everything is being exposed for what it is. Social media platforms are just things, yes. But it's also showing what our priorities are. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't kind of say, yeah, and second greatest commandment, increase your social media presence so I can be heard around the world. I just don't think that's part of the plan here. God's word doesn't return void. This isn't a numbers game. And when you look to social media now, I think every day I'll start doing a disclaimer. The opinions expressed on this talk program are mine and mine alone, not Salem Media Group, not KKLA.com or KPRZ.com. They're mine. I think America is being shown itself, and many of us don't want to look in the mirror. And we can have these intellectual, heady conversations and disagreements about who should be in office and what is to come and all that stuff. But to me, it's a bigger distraction than the real work at hand. This is about rolling up our sleeves and working, living for the Lord. Not just this sentimental bosh, you know, love each other. It's all going to be good. It's all about forgiveness. I'm amazed at the tone in the country. And granted, the media, the narrative is all about lies. They're controlling the narrative now. In a sense, they're recreating reality. But again, anybody that looks through the spiritual lens can see truth from lies, fact from fiction, good from evil. But the narrative is we ourselves are the enemy, each other. Whether it's couched in racism or political partisanship or whatever it is, it's a lie from hell. And yet that's what you're going to get when you look out in the external world now. Guard your heart, guard your eyes, guard your mind. And maybe this is more of a plea from my insights into what's been happening to me over the last 3 weeks. I am gratefully going to unplug all my social media very soon. I started with Twitter over the weekend. Bye-bye to 26,000 followers. Somebody emailed me, you could have spread the gospel to 26,000 people. Yeah, okay, fine. Meantime, I want to give Jack Dorsey a few more bucks in his pocket and give him the power to manipulate my position. No, thank you. Jesus picked 12 dudes. Messed up, jacked up individuals. This isn't about numbers. This is about getting right with God and living for Jesus now. And the last part, yes, embracing the blessing of being a follower of Christ. And one of the things the church, the Western church, is good at is kind of giving you this little kumbaya snapshot into, you know, to be grateful and to be blessed and to be joyous and victorious and we know how it ends and all that stuff. And all that's true. But my concern is, Is the church also preparing those of us that profess faith in Christ for the battle, teaching us about what Ephesians 6 means, what Paul was referring to, about putting on the full armor of God? As I made reference to this book by Alyssa Childers called Another Gospel, I'll bring it in tomorrow. She has this section. You know, all the purveyors of theological liberalism and progressive Christianity that wants to make Jesus out like into this love guru, where he just loved the world, hung out with sinners, the Lord of love. She dedicates a part in her book, scripturally, to quoting all of the things he said in his life. A mere snapshot. Jesus wasn't this big teddy bear where he just hugged everybody. But if you don't commit to learning his word, if you're living more in your life for you and not him, the stronghold in your life would blind you to the absolute spiritual truth of who he is and who we are in Christ. And that's where we are. The church can't even get it together. We're pointing the finger at each other. And we have these social maladies that are effects of sin, like racism. Real, absolutely. But Satan's really manipulated that one too. It's until a human being or an entity or a group does this, then you'll be healed. No one could heal except through Jesus Christ. We got to get that straight as the body of Christ in the church. We can't heal without Christ. Stop looking to people groups or partisan politics or whatever it is that we think is going to give us the answer. And Jesus is the only answer. It's the only way. It's the only way it's ever been for 2,000 years. And we're at a crossroads in our country now because not enough people understand that and live that. Triple 8-528-2557. And God help us. In fact, I'll pray we'll break and come back with more of the program. We'll take calls. We have some open lines. 888-528-2557. Father God, here we are in this day that you've created for us. Father, the Bible says the cross is folly to non-believers. Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they not know what they do. But Father, I know that's not an excuse to plead indifference or apathy or a whole other weight of sins that we embrace in this world. We execute our children and we still say we're a God-fearing Christian nation. How dare we? And I pray we're not experiencing the beginning of your judgment or your wrath. I pray that you ask, that we ask in your precious name to forgive us and that we plead mercy. We plead mercy. And Jesus, we know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the great I am. We know that you're the only answer. Please help us. Please speak to us. Please let us understand and live the truth of the gospel, that you hung on a cross and died for us so that we can be rectified to our Father God, who can't be close to sin, and yet we're sinners. How do we bridge that? How do we rectify that? You did that for us forever, Jesus, and we honor you and glorify you. But if we profess to be Christians and don't understand that very basic tenet of the Bible, please help us, Holy Spirit, to lead us and convict us and rebuke us in the way we live our lives right now. We know that this is a full-on manifestation of good versus evil. Tear the scales from our eyes, Lord. Let us see in you only. And please give us the courage to live our lives as you would have us live and lead for those of us that have given our life to you. And we glorify, we honor you, we celebrate you, Jesus. We sing hymns to you. We honor you, we revere you. I pray this prayer in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 888-528-2557. If you'd like to call, we have open lines. There is a commentary by a friend of mine entitled, "Our Politics is Cracking Under the Weight of a Thinning Civil Society." It is a commentary well worth reading. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Gold Financial Group and Mike Cordova would love to educate you on the value of gold and silver. It's very simple. This isn't like I have to have $1 million in the bank to invest in this. I've got to have my life together. No, quite the contrary. Gold Financial Group and Mike Cordova, they just want to help you. Answer any questions you may have about investing in gold or silver. Call them, 800-214-9023, 800-214-9023. They have a free gold financial guide simply by asking, and they will help you invest in one of the most tangible, sound investments possible. Commodities, gold and silver, precious metals, gold, whatever it is. Call Gold Financial Group, 800-214-9023. And if you do make that call, I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Welcome back to this, the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Our phone lines into the radio station are the same every day. The numbers are 888-528-2557. Frank in Pomona, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, how you doing, Frank? I was listening, and the statement you said, you know, the capital of Washington right now looks like a third world country. Can you specify a little bit more about that, why you say that? And the other question is, you said you will have no more Twitter today. Do you know what kind of platform are you going to use? Are you going to use none?
To answer your first question, what I said was the way it is barricaded with 30,000 troops and the fortifications, it looks like a third world country ready to lock down militarily for a new regime. That's what I said.
And, okay, new regime. What are you talking about there?
What am I talking about? Do you know about despotism and third world countries? What's that? Go ahead.
No, yeah, I know. Who do you refer about new regime?
Well, the new administration that is coming in on Wednesday.
Do you think, you know, it looked the same way as the third world country last six?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you think that it looked, you know, the actions a lot of people took in the Capitol last six, you know, things that happened only in third world country?
Well, define what third world country means. You're hung up on that. That's not exactly what I said. There's a contextual point that I made about making reference to the way D.C. is on lockdown like never before.
Okay, well, third world country, I mean, can you specify what are you trying to say? I know what a third world country means, but you, specifically, what are you trying to say?
I will try again. We have 30,000 troops in D.C. There's fences, there's walls, there's fortifications, metro's been shut down. We've never seen anything like this fortification process before in the history of our country. Federal authorities are all about trying to secure. Let me finish. You asked me a question. Okay. I'll let you speak. They're trying to secure.
You're very upset, huh?
I'm sorry?
You are very upset, huh?
Okay. You asked me a lot of questions. Why don't you state where you're at? I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm upset. Of course I'm upset. My goodness, how can you not be upset about the state of our country and what we've seen happen over the last couple of weeks, over the last 4 years? Half the country against half the country, political parties that are, it seems like they're less interested in the Constitution now and more about embracing and increasing their own power. This is a crisis. So yes, I'm upset. Share your thoughts.
Well, I'm not upset, you know, because I know how all of this is going to end. I trust in God. We know the prophecies, what the Bible talks about. I know and I trust in Him, not in man. And what I have seen happen the last 4 years, we haven't seen not a little bit about what is going to be, you know, in the future. You know that, Frank. We all know that. Whoever believes in the Bible, we all know that. But we need to put trust in our Lord. Not in a party, not in man, not in the regime, because we know where are we going to be at before all the chaos, the big chaos starts, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think I said those very words. Maybe you said them better than I did. I appreciate the call. I thank you for it. And the addendum is, not that you're saying this, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. That doesn't mean we just mail it in. You are right. God is in control. We know those of us that have put our faith in Christ, we know our salvation is assured. Yeah, the Bible says it's going to get really gnarly. But again, that doesn't mean, again, not that you were saying that, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. I believe we're to fight wrong. I believe that this is about evil manifesting itself. We have a media in our country right now, in my view, that's controlling the entire narrative, and they're a bunch of liars. We don't hear things like freedom of speech anymore. If we do nothing, look at the life of Christ. I mentioned this, and I wish I had her book in front of me, but I know enough about Jesus's walk. Alyssa Childers, in her book, Another Gospel, systematically in Scripture, I could pull out Matthew right now and probably find five different places where he spoke in a way in which calling the elite vipers. Man, we got to know that Jesus just didn't sit around and pray like everything was going to be okay. And they were the political elite of the day. And we as Christians think we're not supposed to be politically literate. If you believe that, I would like to suggest then you don't know the life of Christ. And that's where we are. And that's why I'm so compelled now to talk more about the Bible and read Scripture on the air. And you would not believe the emails I'm getting. Oh, now you've turned into a wannabe pastor. I've been here almost 8 years. I get hit all the time. Why don't you read Scripture more? Now that I'm compelled strongly to read the Bible. Look, and here's the bottom line. I can take your hits. I know who I am in the Lord. I know my own frailties, my own sin, my own struggles. Believe me, I know myself. I praise God for saving me from myself. But as long as I have a microphone, I'm not going to play patty cake and kumbaya and make it out to be all nice. Because the Bible clearly says that's not who Jesus is. Even in the church, man, we got these progressive Christians, these woke pastors. I said it, oh my goodness, that just would make it out to be. We saw it over the summer with racism. Some of you are listening right now. I'd love to have an honest conversation with you. But it's all about, you know, reparations and righting the wrongs of this country. No one can ever be healed aside from the truth of Jesus. And you profess to be a Christian? And you're coming at groups of people? What, was it that long ago? Do we have short memories? Where groups of white people were prostrate asking for forgiveness for the history of racism. That's the walk of a Christian? We should kneel together, side by side, asking God to have mercy on us for the abortions that we freely, without any thought, enact. And I praise God for preachers that talk like this, because this is the Word of God. Progressive Christianity has infiltrated our church where we don't know God's Word anymore, where we think that Jesus is just somehow, He's put on the back 40 just to be kind of this lord of love, and it's all about getting along and loving people. You know what that is? That's embracing the schemes of the devil. If you missed Friday, I can give you a little bit more of what the Bible says. There are specific parts of the Bible that say certain sins are not okay. That doesn't mean any one or more necessarily is worse off than the other. I'm free to say, look, I'll stand at the front of the line. I need Jesus more than anybody because I'm a sinner. I'm washed clean by the blood of Christ. I'm healed by his stripes. But how dare us as the body of Christ come at each other with this new social justice movement? Like somehow this is the answer? Jesus is a social justice warrior? God help us. That somehow Jesus is all about, you know, we stand side by side and we address certain maladies in our society. Dealing with the symptom and not the core, not the cause, which is sin, that is endemic in all of us. Now, we're just going to jump on social justice movements, and that's the answer. Cancel culture. Judging people by the color of their skin on a day where we embrace Martin Luther King, who talked about the content of your character, not the color of your skin. And I'll be doggone if there are people in the church that are saying, not only do we judge by the color of your skin, that certain color of your skin is more or less part of the problem. Whew. When I stand in front of the Lord one day, when I am called to be judged for everything I did, I've done in this life, I will be in fear and trembling, terrified to be in the presence of the Lord of the universe. How dare us have this flippant, indifferent attitude like somehow it's all good, God's in control, I just, you know, just love people and I'm not going to get caught up in all the ways of the world. I'm not going to be concerned about things that are going to upset me. That is indication you don't know who Jesus is. When you look at his life and what he did and what he spoke, and we are supposed to, in our sanctification, become more and more God's working through us to create us in the image of Jesus, I'll tell you, you'll see people that definitely you know them by their fruits, and they look more and like Jesus as Christians, and then you'll see Christians, man, they've got 960,000 followers on Instagram. Wow, are they influential as a pastor? I say no way. I say it takes one to surrender to the only king of the universe, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's all you need is one, a party of one. Share the gospel. Yes, love people, but get right with God. Because guess what? We think we know what darkness is? Man, we ain't seen nothing yet. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We have a couple of open lines. 888-528-2557. Let me read a commentary since I just let my thoughts known. I'm getting emails. Some of you are not too happy about what I shared, and that's okay. Let me read a very important commentary by the president of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. His name is John Stonestreet. This is entitled, "Our Politics is Cracking Under the Weight of a Thinning Civil Society." A little more than a week after the storming of the Capitol, five Americans have died. The House of Representatives has impeached the president for a second time. Twitter and other social platforms have permanently banned the sitting president of the United States. Amazon Web Services shut down alternative social media site Parler. And National Guard forces are being deployed with tens of thousands of troops scheduled to surround the Capitol. There are immediate causes, of course, for the chaos that unfolded last Wednesday. Over 70 million Americans are unhappy with and deeply worried about the implications of the presidential election and, no less important, the Georgia Senate runoffs. Among that number, a sizable group believes the election was stolen. Just as deeply disbelieve all media personalities, investigators, elected officials of either party, or judges who say otherwise. For decades, sociologists have warned just how thin American civil society has become, replaced by a growing individualism that isolates Americans from the relationships and loyalties that once nurtured a thick social fabric. This is an unsustainable path, writes John Stonestreet. The collapse of the family, declining church attendance, institutions losing their integrity and our trust, and the various technological vortices keeping us from our neighbors are all catalytic factors in what's been rightly called deaths from despair. Things like loneliness, addictions, suicide. As civil society thins, and as Americans become less connected to the pre-political aspects of life, the cultural weight lands on politics. To put it bluntly, our politics cannot handle the amount of weight we currently expect of it. As a result, we are experiencing two unsustainable consequences. Number one, a culture that lacks the necessary resources to produce good citizens and cultivate self-control. Family, church, community life, volunteer groups play many roles in a society, but none of these groups more important than providing a vision of what it means to live together, advancing things like civility and the common good. Secondly, when too much weight of a culture is placed on politics, when people turn exclusively or even primarily to politics to define and solve their problems or secure their hope, the stakes become too high. A zero-sum, winner-take-all, winner-die kind of politics that places too much weight on the next election, the next bill, the next scandal, the next breaking story from Washington. The anxiety level becomes too much for people to bear. On the opposite extreme, from those who want to remove Christians from politics are those Christians who think political levers should be used as power plays. But that's merely Christianizing a secular methodology. It will never work. If we hope to be part of a solution and not add kindling to this explosive environment, we'll need clear and compelling teaching on what politics is ultimately for, what it's not for, and how it fits in the larger economy of pre-political realities and institutions. Without a doubt, difficult days lie ahead for anyone committed to the sanctity of human life, or religious freedom, or sexual restraint. We've been appointed to this time and this place, but others have gone before us and we must learn from them. We need not reinvent the wheel like those whose remarkable faith is now sight. We must roll up our sleeves and double down on loving God and neighbor, proclaiming what is true and elevating what is good, and fighting for what matters, but never placing our hope in horses, chariots, or elections. Only in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, writes John Stonestreet. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Verse 27, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Christian, we've been appointed to this time and this place. No getting out of it. No denying it. Don't shy away. Embrace it for all it is. Scary, dark, nefarious, concerning, all of that. And exciting, and oh my goodness, talk about a blessing to be able to live and share Jesus Christ with people that are so desperate, that have tried everything in this short life. What an opportunity for the church 2021 if the church would just repent and put their faith in God, not the kingdoms that they try to build. What an opportunity. What an exciting time to experience the Lord. Have you led anybody to Christ lately? Have you shared Jesus with anybody lately? No better time to start than right now. I do value each and every one of you, and I realize this medium is limited. You may come and go and only hear bits and pieces. You're always welcome to go to our website of this Perspective radio station and download the podcast and listen to it in its entirety. Maybe share it with others. If you want to send me an email, it is confidential, franksontag@kkla.com. Or for my family listening at K-Praise in San Diego, franksontag@kprz.com. Do not misunderstand. I am here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to honor him above all. He is the only answer in this life. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are to share that in every breath he gives us. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Gold Financial Group. When you work with somebody long enough, just an expression on their face, you kind of know what they're thinking. My brother Wilbert across the way looked at me, eyes wide open. I'm like, oh, gold. Gold Financial Group and Mike Cordova, they're sponsors of this program. Part of the reason why I'm on the air is because of Gold Financial Group. And part of the reason why they're in existence is to help you invest in something as precious as a commodity of gold and or silver. Call them, 800-214-9023. I know the lie is, well, I don't have much of anything, or am I even worthy of investing? Call them and find out. I promise you they're going to steer you in the right direction. 800-214-9023. 800-214-9023. No better time to invest in gold and or silver than right now. Gold Financial Group, 800-214-9023. If you do make that call, I promise you, you'll be glad you did.